Jesus, that's it. That's it. Glorify the name that's above every name. There is none like unto our God, and He is worthy of all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We serve a God that is worthy of all the glory and all the honor. And as we begin to praise Him and as we begin to lift Him up, His glory and His power and His presence has filled this place. I said His glory and His power and His presence has filled this place. There's something very powerful that's happening here today. There is something prophetic that is happening in this sanctuary here today. If you did not get to hear this message this morning from Brother Brad DeLong, you need to listen to it. God is speaking to us and God is talking to us. This same presence and the same power we felt in the 9 o'clock service. And I'm so thankful that His presence and His glory is in this place. One more time, would you just lift your hands and would you thank Him? Lord, I don't ever want to take for granted Your glory and Your power and Your presence. I thank You, Jesus, for what we feel. And I thank You for being in this place today. That song said, Thy kingdom come. And when His kingdom comes, everything begins to change. Chains begin to break. Things begin to shake in the atmosphere. And what's happening here is His kingdom is coming. And this earth and this world is shaking right now. Hear me, somebody. I said this earth and this world is shaking right now. Things are beginning to shake in the spirit and in this atmosphere. Chains of bondage are being released and loosed in the name of Jesus. Things are happening here today. Beginning of this year, God gave me a prophetic word for this church. I don't claim to be a prophet, but what He had spoken to my spirit was very prophetic. He gave me a vision I saw that I'm going to share with you probably later in this message. I was scheduled to preach this message the last night before we entered COVID restrictions, and then we had no more Sunday night services. If you remember, that night we did not have preaching of the word, but the power of God moved into this place in such a mighty way, and we needed that. I will say, though, I left that service wondering why God would give me such a prophetic word and why God would show me a vision of what He showed me and not let me deliver that. So for the last 6 months, I have not felt that it had been time to share this with this church. But as Brother Bernard spoke last Sunday, he said that he was given a prophecy by Brother Daniel Scott. And this is what that prophecy said. It said, My son, I will send a devastation on the United States, the like of which has never been experienced. The devastation will come with destruction multiplied times over, and the people will tremble. He said, I will do this to bring the nation to its knees. Even the kings of the earth shall be clothed in fear. The entire population of the United States will then know the paths of treachery their leaders have traveled to destroy the faith of so many. My people who are called by My name will be tried severely, but My purpose will be to show Myself to be their God, even before I come to gather them to Me, but the end is not yet. Said, this will take place just prior to My return. I will use this devastation to cause many spiritual prodigals who have turned away from Me to return and reconsecrate their lives to Me, and many who have left the love of righteousness and the gospel to realign their principles. Also, I will bring multitudes to know Me, because at that time there will be a revelation that all men everywhere will know that I am the Lord, only Lord God. As I heard that prophecy go forth that was given in August 22nd, 2019, as I heard that message of prophecy go forth on Thursday night, The Holy Ghost came upon me and I began to speak with tongues. I felt that anointing, the prophetic anointing, come upon me again. And God spoke to me and said, now is the time for my church to hear my word. And so I bring this to you today. Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 1 says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out, and the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Yet he said unto me, prophesy, proclaim upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. He said, I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking took place. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe and breathe, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. He said, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And I want to preach to you for the next few minutes on this topic. These bones shall live. These bones shall live. And I feel his power and his anointing in this place. Would you lift your hands and would you ask God to give you revelation of his word? Lord, I thank you for the prophecy that has been given to us on Thursday. And I thank you, God, for the power of the Spirit that's in this place and for the power of your word that is going forth. I pray, God, that our minds and our hearts would be open, that you would give us revelation and understanding of your word and what you are doing in these last days. And we will thank you. God, give us boldness in the Holy Ghost to walk out of this place and do your work and be in your will. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Would you clap your hands one more time before you're seated and thank him? Hallelujah, hallelujah. And you may be seated. I want to start out by saying this, that God is for you. God is for your family. God is for your friends. God is for your community, and God is for this city. Mark Batterson wrote in his book, The Circle Maker, God is for you. If you don't believe that, you will pray timid prayers. But if you believe that, you will pray bold prayers. He said, bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. God isn't offended by your biggest dreams or boldest prayers. Ask God to part the Red Sea, make the sun stand still, raise the dead. God is moved to omnipotent action when we ask. In order for us to speak those things, though, first we must believe that God is for us. I've come to declare to you today that God loves you. I've come to tell somebody today that God loves your family, that God loves this community, and that God loves this city. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. perish, but have everlasting life. What Brad preached about this morning was everlasting life and being ready to go to heaven. God loved us so much that he gave his son to die for us so that we could experience heaven and experience him. God cares for you. I've come to tell somebody today, maybe you're here in this sanctuary or maybe you're watching online, that you have not failed God too many times. You have not stumbled too many times. You have not sinned too much to cancel out the love and the care that God has for you. Romans 5 and 20 says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. It said, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. When I fall short, when I am diminished, and when I fail, and it feels like that failure is so big, this word says that God is bigger than that. God's love is overwhelming, and his grace abounds even more. God is for you, somebody, and God loves you, and his grace is enough for you, and his love is enough. When we look at our city, when we look at our world, and when we look at our family, we see the moral corruption, anti-God values, and immoral lifestyle. It is so very easy for us to focus on the sinful state that they are in, the spiritual demise or death that they have succumbed to. And if we are not careful, we can cross them off as too far gone, too dead, too dry to come back to life. But I've come with a prophetic word for this church that these bones shall live again. Hear me, somebody, your family is coming home. Your kids are coming home. Mama, that daughter that you've been praying for is coming home. Daddy, that son that you've been praying for is coming home. Hear me, somebody, child, those parents that you've been praying for, they are coming back. They are not too dead and they are not too far gone, but those bones shall live again. There is a stirring in this city right now. And I'm not talking about fear from coronavirus. I'm not talking about racial tension or political unrest. But there is a stirring in this city. And there is a stirring in your family. And that stirring is spiritually dead bones that are coming back to life. If you believe that, would you claim that right now? Would you clap your hands and would you claim that? God specializes in bringing dead things back to life. John chapter 11, we hear the story of Lazarus, a friend of Jesus. Chapter 11 and verse 3, it says, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. He said, but it's for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. He abode two more days where he was. Verse 11, then he saith unto his disciples, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. He said, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. The disciples were so confused, they thought, well, if this man is sick, then rest would be just right for him. Rest would be good for him. But Jesus was not looking through physical eyes when he referred to sleep. He was looking through supernatural eyes. He saw a man laying there, but that man was getting ready to get back up. And the supernatural, he saw a man that was just there sleeping, not really dead, but just sleeping, that was getting ready to get back up. Jesus was speaking of death, but when he sees something dead, there is the possibility that it will come back to life. Therefore, it only looks like it is asleep. When we look at it through our carnal and human physical eyes, we see death. We see the end. We see finality. But when we look through supernatural eyes of faith, we will see something that is just asleep and that needs to be awakened out of sleep. Verse 17, Jesus came. He found that he had laid in the grave 4 days. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said unto the Lord, they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus said, verse 39, "Take away the stone." And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinks, for he's been dead for 4 days." Martha had disqualified the power of God because of what she saw with her carnal human eyes. He was a dead man. His heart stopped beating. His blood stopped pumping and flowing. His lungs stopped filling with the air. He was brain dead. There was no function in his body. They saw a body that was decomposing and that began to stink. And because of what they saw and because of what they knew, they disqualified the power of God. They excluded his glory. They counted him out. Lazarus was too far gone, even though they saw the miraculous form performed by Jesus. They decided to buy into what they saw rather than what Jesus had said. He said, "Thy brother shall rise again." Then he said in John 11, 25, "I am the resurrection and I am the life. He that believeth in on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Jesus was saying, don't buy into what you have seen with your carnal human eyes, but if you will just believe. He told Martha and Mary, if you will just believe, if you will just believe, you will see my glory and my power made manifest. Hear me, somebody, today, that if you will just believe, you will see his glory and his power. Far too many times we have based the outcome of our family and our city and our community by what we have seen with our carnal human eyes. We have seen spiritually dead family members that have not walked into church in years. They have lived immoral lives. They have lived a life of sin. They have struggled with addictions. We see a city right now that is ravaged and torn by sin. We see the addictions to drugs and alcohol and pornography. We see murder and rape and molestation. We see adultery and fornication. We see unclean lips and impure motives. And when we look, there is no doubt that they are dead spiritually. But when Jesus looks at them, when Jesus looks at them, he doesn't see something that is too far gone. He doesn't write them off because they are too dead. In fact, he sees something that just needs to be awakened out of sleep. Adjust your vision, APC, and start looking through supernatural eyes of faith for your family and for this city. Our vision for APC is 2020 vision, seeing as Jesus sees. Jesus doesn't see your family and this city is dead. He sees them as just needing to be awakened out of sleep. He didn't need Martha and Mary to tell him to come. He wasn't asking Martha and Mary how the miracle was going to happen or when he should perform the miracle in Lazarus' life. He said, just believe. Just believe and you will see my power and glory. Just hold on to your faith a little longer and don't buy into what your carnal eyes are telling you. Believe that I will do it and you will see my power and my glory. I've come with a word for somebody today. Quit measuring God. They were trying to measure his power by what they saw, a dead corpse. But you can't measure God, and you can't measure his power, and you can't measure his glory, because it is unlimited and it is all sufficient. I've come to tell somebody today that your family is going to live again. I've come to speak a prophetic word that this city is going to live again, that this community is going to live again, that your neighborhood is going to live again, that your workplace is going to live again, that your school is going to live again. They are not too far gone and they are not too dead, but they are just sleeping and he's come to awake them out of sleep. In Ezekiel chapter 37, The prophet said, the hand of the Lord is upon me. Camp meeting this year, our superintendent preached from this passage of Scripture. And he said, on Thursday night of camp meeting, the hand of the Lord is upon you. The hand of the Lord is upon your church. Don't disqualify yourself from being used by God because the hand of God is upon you. I'll have to admit, when I began to read that scripture, that the hand of the Lord is upon me, I began to take that very personally and say, you know what? I can do whatever He's called me to do because His hand is upon me. I have boldness in the Spirit to go wherever He leads me to go because His hand is upon me. I did get to thinking about my family members in the city and our community and all the work. That's how revival is spelled, W-O-R-K. All the work that needs to be done. But you know what? We can do that because the hand of the Lord is upon His church. He said, the hand of the Lord is upon me, and He carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. He caused me to pass them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Ezekiel, or the prophet, is taken to the valley. And there he said in this valley that is full of bones. He describes these bones as very dry. They have been there for a while. They were not just killed, but they have been laying there for a long time. It wasn't like Lazarus, who had just died a few days before, but these bones had been laying in this valley for quite a while. Verse 9, we see that these people had been slain. That means that they had come up against a fight with the enemy and they lost. They had been attacked, maybe ambushed. Somehow they were not strong enough to survive. The enemy had gained the advantage. The enemy had destroyed them. The enemy had slaughtered them. The enemy had killed them and left them to rot in the valley. And there they lay, flesh gone, muscles gone, tissue gone, everything gone, but very dry bones. The prophet is now looking at the scene of the battle, maybe playing over in his mind what had taken place here in this valley of dry bones. So God asks the prophet, he says, can these bones live? His reply is, Lord God, only You know that. I guess he could have said no, probably not. But he said, Lord, only You know that. In other words, only You have the power to decide that. He said to him in verse 4, prophesy to these bones and saying to them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Let me tell you something. When you begin to speak to the word of the Lord, that bones, dry bones, begin to listen. When you begin to speak the word of the Lord, things begin to happen. The word of the Lord isn't just like our words, but when God begins to give us a word and we begin to speak His word, there is power and authority and dominion and anointing in those words. He said, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. So he prophesied. That word prophesy there isn't to foretell or to predict, but it is to foretell. That word prophesy is to declare. So he declared it. He proclaimed it. It was to foretell, to make public. He said, I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bone came together, bone to his bone. The sinews of flesh came upon them. The skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Beginning of this year, the Lord began to speak to me. This was right around when COVID started. Begin to speak to me and speak to me about this, these dry bones and how and what he was going to do. He gave me a vision one night, and I don't claim to see visions all the time. I've only saw a couple, actually. But he gave me a vision, and then this vision, took me to this valley. Jason, would you put up that title page? Took me to this valley. And when he took me to this valley on the right side, I saw the church, Apostolic Pentecostal Church. The left side, I saw the city of St. Louis. And in this valley was a valley of very dry bones. They had been attacked. Maybe they had been ambushed. Somehow they were not strong enough to survive when the enemy attacked him. The enemy gained the advantage over these dry bones. The enemy had tricked them. The enemy had deceived them. The enemy had destroyed them and slaughtered them and left them there to rot. As I was sitting in that valley of dry bones, the Lord spoke and he said, prophesy to these bones that they shall live. And so as the word of the Lord went forth, I spoke and prophesied and proclaimed to those bones that they shall live. And as that happened, as that word went forth, I began to see bones coming back and their bodies coming together. And I began to see faces when they did that. The night that I was going to preach this message, I looked into every section of this auditorium and I saw faces of loved ones that you have been praying for. I saw faces of people that had walked into this church and lived for God and somehow walked away. I saw faces of people, many that I knew, and faces of people that I had no idea who they were. They were just people in our city and people in our community. But as far as I could see in this valley, I began to see all of these faces. There were more. I told Brother Brad this today. There were more faces of prodigals in that valley that we would not have room enough to hold every single one of them in this auditorium right now. I saw faces of your loved ones in that valley. As I saw them and as they stood up and as they came together, their face was down. And they had shackles on their hands like this. I began to look at those faces of people that I knew and faces that I did not know. And as I would look at those faces, the Lord would begin to reveal to me why they were shackled. Some of them were shackled by bitterness. Some of them were shackled by rebellion. Some of them were shackled by hurt and emotional hurt. Some of them were shackled by pain they felt because they felt like God had left them. Some of them were shackled by disobedience and addiction. Some of them were shackled by gossip that they started out that turned into strife. Some of them were shackled by pride, and some of them were shackled by discouragement, and some of them were tackled by failure. As I looked over this valley of dry bones, of bones that came together, and I saw that shackle, the word of the Lord came to me and said, prophesy or declare or speak that the angel of deliverance will be dispatched in this valley. I have never read about the angel of deliverance. I really don't know what the angel of deliverance is, but I know that as I begin to prophesy that the angel of deliverance would be dispatched in this valley, there was a giant angel that went forth in that valley. And when that angel went forth, he pulled out a large sword and he went over to every shackle. And as he was at those shackles, he began to break every shackle and every chain of every person that was in that valley. Finally, prophesy to the wind. Prophesy to the spirit. Wind and spirit. That the spirit would breathe upon the slain. And as the spirit would breathe upon them, they would live again. As that prophecy, as that proclamation went forth, that the Spirit would go, I saw the Spirit. It was like, I can only describe it as the book of Acts, as a mighty rushing wind that filled that valley and flowed into that place. And as the Spirit began to blow, it filled them. And there were the prodigals, and there were the people in our city that had walked away from God or did not even know God. There they were with their shackles gone, and the Spirit had filled them, and their faces lighted up, and the power of God worked in their life. Would you stand with me? After God gave me this vision, gave me instructions not to just tell this church about that, but to have this church do what I had saw done in that valley. The musicians begin to come and play. Sister Amber and Brother Brad. I've come today with a specific word for this church, for this city. That these dry bones shall live again. Your family members are coming back. Your loved ones are coming back. Your friends are coming back. The city, they are going to live. The Holy Ghost spoke to me a few things that I want to share with you, and then we're getting ready to put this into action. First thing he spoke to me is that God has positioned the church, and his hand is upon us to prophesy and speak the word of God such a time as this. Right now, as his kingdom is coming, and as this prophecy that was given to our general superintendent is being fulfilled, that now we're not waiting for a week, and we're not waiting for a month, and we're not waiting for 3 years, but I do believe that as we begin to pray, and as we begin to proclaim, and as we begin to prophesy the word of God, that right now, today, that things are going to begin to happen in your family and in this city. Lift your hands right now just for a minute, and would you just bask in his presence and ask him to lead you and guide you right now and give you revelation. According to the prophecy that Brother Bernard spoke, many prodigals will return. A multitude will come to know Jesus. And this is not some futuristic prophecy, but this is now. This is starting now. This is starting today.
To the bones, as those words not understood by your fleshly ears were uttered, those words were sent to dry bones, and there has been a shaking, and there has been a noise that has come from the bones. Would you lift your voice right now and join that prophetic utterance in your own way?
We're gonna move now into the direction that God has given me. Sister Amber is getting ready to lead us in prophecy to these bones and proclaiming to these bones, to your family, friends, and the city that they shall live. She's going to lead you, but you're going to do it as well. I want you to speak names of people and your family that you want to see come back to God. Hear me, somebody, and when we do this, there is going to be an awakening and a shaking that happens in their life. It is already happening in this place right now.
Yes. In the name of Jesus, we prophesy to dead bones, to bones that lay broken and dry because of addiction, to bones that lay broken and dry because of disillusionment, to bones that lay dry and broken out of the deadness of religious tradition, out of the bones that lay dry and broken because of divorce and because of financial trouble and because of loss of job. We declare life to these bones in the name of Jesus. We say, live again, dry bones. Come back to life in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let there be a noise. Let there be a shaking in their bones right now. Let them begin to come together. Let life begin to happen again. Let families begin to come together. Let minds begin to be sane again. I pray that you would reorder thinking right now. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy the bones be made whole by the power of the name of Jesus.
Would you clap your hands right now in thanksgiving for what just happened in the Spirit? In your family, in your daughters, and in your sons, and in this city. I believe that those bones have been awakened now, your family in this city. And now I'm going to do as God had instructed me, and we're going to prophesy that the angel of deliverance would go now and would break every chain of bondage that has them bound. I want you to speak your family's name as we do this now, Lord, under the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost and according to your word. I release and ask that the angel of deliverance would be dispatched to every family member and every person in this city. I pray that every shackle of bitterness and rebellion and hurt and emotional hurt and pain and strife and pride and disobedience and discouragement and failure would be loosed by the power of the name of Jesus. God, I pray that every chain would be broken. I pray that every shackle would be loosed by the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. If you believe that that just happened for your family and for your city, would you just give God praise right now? God, we praise you for the shackles that are gone and for the angelic presence that's in this place today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Can see very plainly what the Spirit of God is doing in this room. Our last prayer, we're going to loose the Holy Ghost to fill a valley of dried bones. We're going to loose the Spirit and the power of God into families and into homes where it's never been before. I wonder if you pray right now, and if you got to pray in tongues of the Holy Ghost, that's fine, but in your name, we loose the Holy Ghost. We loose the power of the Spirit. We loose the breath of life. We loose deliverance. We loose every implication of your glory and your power in the Holy Ghost. We loose the wind of the Spirit to flow into every place, every neighborhood, every family, every home, every life, in places where darkness resides. We loose the Holy Ghost. Dark corner. Oh, and your glory will not be stopped, and it will be displayed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, pray, church, pray. Ah. release your spirit in my neighborhood and on my neighbors. Oh God, I loose it into places that have been dry for too long. I loose the Holy Ghost to go to where prodigals are and begin to stir them and begin to refill them before they ever walk into our doors. I release your spirit. Tell you what these prayers do. Some of you probably know the individual I'm talking about. I won't say the name. But months ago, she reached out and told us, said, I've been in my home. I haven't been to church for quite some time, but I started to watch those services where the Holy Ghost moved. Said, I began to speak in other tongues again, and God refilled me right there in my bedroom. I hadn't had it happen in months and maybe even years. These prayers are doing something. You can hear the sound of those bones coming together, and you can hear the sound of chains falling, and you can hear the sound of the wind of the Spirit moving in our city. I think we owe God a great ovation of praise right now. And praise Him like your praise is unlocking something in the Spirit. I worship you, Jesus. I praise you in advance for every bone that stands, Lord. I praise you in advance for every life that's filled, God. I praise you for unsaved loved ones and prodigals filled with the Spirit and the wind of God. God, I tell you what, Jesus. His Spirit is going to places we may never go. And I believe God is preparing hearts. God's preparing lives. I'm believing. I shared this several months ago. I had a young man come to me. Never been in an apostolic service. Said, I got to praying in my closet one day. Went into a prayer closet. He just did what the Bible said. He took it literally. I went into a prayer closet. Said, I started speaking in a language I didn't understand. You think that's speaking in tongues? Yeah. God can do it before we ever come across their path. And I believe God is drawing those bones and they're going to live. They're going to live. Why don't we thank Him again? Oh, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the man of God who delivered it. And I thank you for the people of God who received it today and acted upon the word of truth. We're leaving out of here in victory, Lord. Not only for ourselves, but for our city. Those around us, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. You can be seated this morning. So thankful for God's glory and presence. We're not leaving it here. I know there's several still praying. If you are, that's fine. Stay in that vein of prayer. We're not leaving the glory of God here. We're going to carry it out of here. The wind of the Holy Ghost is going with us and ahead of us, and God has helped us. Eternity has been shaped today. Eternity has been impacted and shaped today.